Welcome to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. Bill, how are you doing today?
Jason, I am doing great. I hope you are.
I'm great as well, Bill. I'm excited for the show today. We've got a lot of ground to cover, but you know, it's crazy that I've got on the docket here. We're promoting your webinars for October 9th. This year just feels like it has really raced by.
Well, don't forget but the seminar, because we're doing seminars.
Oh, that's right, and the seminar too. I cannot forget that.
Yeah, we're doing that in the evening. You know, we're still doing our webinar in the morning for long-term care and our webinar in the afternoon for trust and asset protection. And then in the evening at 6:30 at Independence Village of Old Raleigh, I'm doing a face-to-face seminar, which is in essence a combination a little bit, but it has all to do with asset protection, whether it's for Medicaid or for legacies in terms of how do you want to distribute property, not just to your spouse, but to your children and grandchildren. So, and importantly, how to keep things protected.
That's right. And please forgive me for not mentioning the seminar. We'll go over that in tremendous detail throughout the program, but you can find information at WGALaw.com and clicking on the seminars button. Well, Bill, you just mentioned, you know, our spouses and our children and grandchildren, and we really want to focus in on a discussion related to issues that can occur when it comes to divorce and remarriage.
Well, it's important. And, you know, one of the themes that I talk about in our asset protection and trust webinar has to do with the fact that people should prioritize their marriage and take care of their marriage. I mean, over the years, and I'm in my 49th year of law practice, and I can tell you that over the years, I would say that the greatest majority of people who lose money, lose their assets, lose their shirt, if you will, lose it through divorce. Because, and of course, sometimes divorces occur totally to one's surprise. You know, it generally takes two to get married and two to where a marriage unravels and ends up in divorce. But sometimes it's more one-sided than not. And of course, it's in some ways it's like it's just one of those unexpected situations. And I guess I shouldn't say that, because sometimes it's not all that unexpected. Sometimes you can tell that it's actually boiling up, if you will, and that it's something that sometimes just can't be remedied with therapy and talking and honesty and those kinds of things. But it is an important issue for many, many folks, unfortunately for many folks. And so it is important that we talk about it. And I will tell you that the great majority of my clients who are well-to-do, those folks that where it's appropriate to use a trust-based plan, the great majority of my clients actually leave the inheritance for their children in trust, in a lifetime asset protection trust for each child. And I would tell you that the motivation behind creating an asset protection trust for a child, more often than not, has to do with the fact that we want our child to enjoy their inheritance and to be able to use it. And we don't want an ex-spouse to walk away with what we leave our children. In other words, we want our inheritance protected for the benefit of our children, because we know, unfortunately, that the divorce rate is high and much higher than anybody wants it to be. But it's there. It's a fact of life. And it's something that, from a planning perspective, from a legal perspective, should be dealt with. And no, I am not a family lawyer, okay? So no, I don't do divorces. I don't do property settlements. I don't do those kinds of things. But the point is that there is planning that it surrounds the potential for divorce, and if there is a divorce, and I've seen good examples, and I've seen horrible mistakes that people make when it comes to the type of planning that they should do.
Well, you know, you've seen the gamut in your 49 years, and hopefully throughout this program we can get some nuggets of wisdom so that we can avoid some of those issues that you have seen. And if folks are interested in scheduling some time to speak with an elder law attorney, you can go to WGALaw.com. There it's very easy to find contact information and scheduling an appointment to speak with an elder law attorney on the team at WG Alexander and Associates. If you are interested in learning more about the webinars and the seminar that we discussed earlier in the program, you can go to WGALaw.com and click on the seminars button. There are two webinars and one seminar that you can attend the second Wednesday of every month. The next set of webinars and seminars happening on Wednesday, October 9th. Again, go to WGALaw.com to register for free to attend the educational webinars and seminar. The morning session and the afternoon session are both webinars. They are done remotely. The morning session covers long-term care assistance. This is very helpful information for families dealing with a long-term care crisis. Covers financial assistance in terms of Medicaid, VA benefits, access to financial aid for middle-class families who are dealing with the extravagant costs of long-term care. The afternoon webinar covers asset protection and trust planning. Bill just mentioned that one, and it's back. The in-person seminars are back. We just did them in September, and they will be back in October as well. This is your chance in the evening to get some in-person education from Bill. Go to WGALaw.com, click on the seminars button to register for the webinars or seminar of your choice. That's happening on Wednesday, October 9th. We're taking a quick break, but we'll be back with more. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. WGALaw.com is where you can go to find information about the WG Alexander and Associates free webinars and seminar. Those are happening the second Wednesday of every month. The next set is happening on Wednesday, October 9th. You can register for free by going to WGALaw.com and clicking on the seminars button. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander, and we are discussing issues when it comes to divorce and remarriage. And Bill, you were talking about how just the importance of trying to take care of our marriage is really, really the foundation for a lot of asset protection.
Okay, so obviously, if that works, that's your best case. But okay, now let's assume that it hasn't worked, and that now we're in a situation where we are living separate and apart, or we're about to. And we know that's on the horizon, and the like. Okay, so we have not, we're not at a point where we've gotten a divorce. We don't even have a separation agreement. We don't have a property settlement. Should I go and change my documents, assuming we have documents? In other words, I should have a will. I should have a general durable power of attorney. I should have a health care power of attorney. But our marriage is rocky. We're getting separated, or we're already separated. Now, obviously, this is a time for most people. It's emotional turmoil. It's also financial turmoil. And it's like, do I have enough money to do this? Do I still need to pay the mortgage? I still need to pay the bills. I may need a little therapy for having the emotional crisis that I'm going through. I need to pay a family lawyer to represent me to take care of these legal issues. Now, a family lawyer is generally not going to do your estate planning documents for you. But so one of the big questions is, we're not divorced yet. Can I change my will? I mean, is that an effective thing for me to do? Because the great majority of folks, particularly in early marriages, have a sweetheart document. I leave everything to my spouse and then to my children, or equally to my children, or something very, very similar to that. The first thing, I mean, and this is somewhat of a no-brainer, you know, your general durable power of attorney normally appoints your spouse to be your primary agent. So now you can revoke that document at any time. Sometimes you need to not only sign a revocation, but you need to record that revocation so it's public knowledge, if you will. But you might, as an alternative to just simply revoking, you may want to execute a new general durable power of attorney that revokes your old power of attorney and appoints someone that you trust and that you can rely on. Now, for seniors, that is probably going to be one of your children, hopefully. But if not, it might be your parent, or it might be a sibling, or it might be a trusted friend, but it's not going to be your spouse that you're separating from. So, or at least not very often anyway. So the point is that you really do want to revoke any right that your spouse has to sign your name to anything under these circumstances. And then secondly, same thing is true for healthcare decisions. You hope that you don't have a healthcare crisis, but the whole point of these documents are just in case you do. But here again, it's not likely that you would want your spouse to be making healthcare decisions for you during times that you can't make your own decisions for yourself. So again, you probably would want to revoke any healthcare power of attorney that you've previously executed, and then again, appoint a person that you can trust to make appropriate healthcare decisions for you. And again, that might be one or both of your parents. It might be a sibling. It might be an adult child. It might be a friend. But the bottom line is that you can't forget about the fact that you've probably appointed your spouse as a person who could sign your name to financial documents, and you've appointed your spouse to make healthcare decisions for you. And so this is something that more often than not gets lost in the emotional turmoil of facing a separation and a potential divorce, whether it's you know, close or farther down the road. But in either way, typically you're more worried about other issues that are extremely important. It might be an issue of custody and child support and visitation, and or it might be where am I going to live, and property settlements, and where am I going to get the money to pay for not just the attorney to represent me, but which is normally a family lawyer in these cases, but also where am I going to get the money to pay the mortgage or to pay a deposit to move to a house or an apartment in the separation period. I mean, and then all of the expenses that go with it. And, you know, there are a lot of folks that need help financially during this type of crisis. And it's, but at the same time, is it important to be able to revoke any of these documents that you have done in the past? Now, what if you don't have documents? Well, it's just as important if you don't have documents to where you're appointing someone other than your spouse to make decisions should a healthcare crisis or you need somebody to sign documents for you on financial documents. And so, and I haven't even gotten to the will yet. Okay. So let's talk about your last will and testament. Now, in most trust documents, if you have a revocable trust, you probably don't need to revoke it, at least most well-drafted trusts, and I have to say that because not all trusts are well-drafted, but in a well-drafted trust, it will have a provision in it that basically says in the event of a divorce or, and depending on the document, it might even say with a separation or where people are intentionally living separate and apart, that my spouse is to be considered predeceased. Now, obviously, with a revocable trust, you can revoke it at any time. And if it doesn't have that language in it, you might want to sign a revocation. You know, that can be important. So now let's talk about the will. Should you change? Can you change the will? I mean, you're not divorced yet. You don't even have a separation agreement and property settlement. And so I would say, yes, in fact, you can and should change your will. And of course, you may even want to revise it again after you get a divorce. But I mean, the fact is you may want your will to say, I leave nothing to my spouse and I leave everything to my children or our children, or if you don't have children, to my siblings or my parents or whatever. Now, will that be effective? Maybe and maybe not. But it's if you don't do it, then in more cases than not, your spouse will, in fact, inherit most or all of your property if you die. And obviously, a will is a document that only applies upon your death, but it's still important to you because you, depending on the circumstances, you may want or need to appoint a guardian for minor children, or you may have other issues where you can provide for it in your will. Now, if you have a separation agreement that's been executed, now I didn't say property settlement, I said separation agreement, then a will that you've executed is going to be valid and it's going to work. If you don't have one, then there's a provision in the law that allows your spouse to dissent from your will and take a portion of your property. And how much they can take depends on how long you've been married and whether you have children and by that spouse and those kinds of issues. So how much they can take in a descent varies depending on the circumstances of the marriage. But so, what you know, the fact is you still have a better result even if they descent. And of course, some people, even in a divorce, are still honorable, and they would not dissent. But you have to at least understand that that's a legal right that a married person has when their spouse dies. Now, there's lots of other things to talk about that I do want to talk about when we come back.
We will definitely get into those because it's a pretty vast topic of all the wide-ranging things that divorce can impact, and we're going to continue our conversation. Don't forget, you can go to wgalaw.com if you want to schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney. Maybe this segment reminded you, hey, I've got some documents sitting in a file cabinet somewhere that I haven't touched in the last 20 years. Maybe I need to get those reviewed by an elder law attorney. This would be a wonderful opportunity for you to do that. Schedule some time with the team at WG Alexander & Associates. WGALaw.com is the place to go. You can also call 919-256-7000, 919-256-7000. And don't forget, at WGALaw.com, you can also register for the free seminars, the morning and afternoon session, our webinars covering long-term care assistance, as well as asset protection and trust planning. And the evening seminar, the in-person seminar at Independence Village of Old Raleigh, it's kind of a combination of the two. You can find all the information at WGALaw.com. Click on the seminars button at the top of the page. A short break and back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We will be right back. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. WGALaw.com is where you can go to register for their free seminars happening on Wednesday, October 9th. Two webinars and one in-person seminar happening on that day. You can find all the information at WGALaw.com and by clicking on the seminars button. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. Today we're talking about the issues that are presented with divorce and also the complications of remarriage when it comes to asset protection. And Bill, we've covered a good amount of ground, but I know there's plenty more that you want to cover.
No question about it. There's lots and lots and lots of things to talk about. But one of the and I would say this: if folks can resolve their differences, sign a separation agreement, and resolve a property settlement, certainly I would encourage that. But I would also warn folks that you need to have legal advice from an experienced family law attorney before you sign on the dotted line. You might think your situation is super simple and you don't need legal advice, but I would say you're always better off to get that advice before you sign. And you also need to recognize, too, that one lawyer cannot represent both you and your spouse to create a fair separation agreement and property settlement. That's what you call a conflict of interest, and it's not one that can be waived. So the point is that if your spouse is the one who has the lawyer drawing the documents, you want to make darn sure that you have your own attorney review that document, because what so many people don't realize in a separation agreement or property settlement, sometimes what's left out of the document is even more important than what's in the document. So it's, and of course, if you're not a lawyer who's experienced in those things, how would you know what's not in the document, even if you're, you can understand what's there? So, like I said, having good legal representation is extremely important. And let me say again, that's not me. I am not a family lawyer. Let me mention something that I have seen happen from an estate planning point of view that's a huge mistake that lawyers make at times. Okay, so particularly in a more complicated, contested type case where you're going down a divorce, you've been separated for more than a year, but you have not resolved the property settlement. And so what I'm getting at is this. You're entitled to a divorce under North Carolina law because you've lived separate and apart for more than a year, and that's a non-contested type of thing. But oftentimes, lawyers don't want to get the divorce until they have the property settlement resolved. And what I would say to you is, don't let that happen. Why? Well, the fact is that you can get a divorce and it be a final divorce, and you can and the property settlement not be resolved. In other words, you can continue to fight over the property until you get it resolved. But you can get your divorce after you've been separated for 12 months. And so why is that important? Because once you've gotten the divorce, then your intentions will stick. So if you create a will or a trust, once you're divorced, your ex-spouse has no right to dissent from what you do. So the fact is that's when obviously you can leave your spouse out completely. Now, it might be subject to the property settlement that gets resolved later, but the fact is that now your ability to have documents done is absolute. Now, why do I say that? Because I actually was involved in a situation at one point where a fella had a trust, he had a will, and he was separated. Basically, he actually left his separated wife a portion of his estate, and he left his sister a portion and his child a portion. But the fact is that they had not resolved the property settlement. The lawyers did not get a divorce, even though it had been almost 3 years from the time that they had separated. And guess what? He died. So, and quite frankly, the wife who was separated, she wanted it all. And frankly, she had the right to dissent and take most of the property. And I'm not going to go into it, but the fact is if his lawyers had simply gone ahead and gotten the divorce, then his estate plan would have been finalized. I mean, it would have been fine, no problem, subject, of course, to the property settlement. And so now, and I think it's important that folks at least understand what equitable distribution is and how it works and how it can be complicated. Okay, so we'll talk about that when we come back.
It can be complicated, and now WG Alexander and Associates, as you heard, they don't do divorces and family law, but it is important to make sure that you're your planning documents are reviewed by an elder law attorney. So if that is something that you need some help with, or maybe you want to set up your own asset protection plan, go to WGALaw.com and schedule some time to speak with an elder law attorney at WG Alexander and Associates. WGALaw.com is also where you can go to register for their free seminars. There are two webinars that you can attend on Wednesday, October 9th. They do these the second Wednesday of every month. Now, the morning webinar covers long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, forms of financial assistance for families dealing with a long-term care crisis. The afternoon webinar deals with asset protection and trust planning. And the in-person seminars are back. They will be happening on the evening of Wednesday, October 9th at Independence Village of Old Raleigh. That will be conducted by Bill and will be kind of almost a hybrid of the other two webinars. You can pick the best one for you and attend for free by going to WGALaw.com and clicking on the seminars button. It's free to attend. All you have to do is register in advance. WGALaw.com is the place to go. Or you can call the office, 919-256-7000. A short break and back. This is Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. Stick with us. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with attorney Bill Alexander. Find more information about WG Alexander and Associates by going to WGALaw.com. WGALaw.com. Find information there about speaking with an elder law attorney. Find information about their free webinars and seminar that are done the second Wednesday of every month by clicking on the seminars button at WGALaw.com. I'm Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. We're talking all about issues related to divorce and remarriage. And Bill, just before we ended the last segment, we were getting into a discussion on equitable division.
Well, it helps, and this is true whether you're going through a separation or not, for folks to at least understand what equitable distribution is and why it might be important. When you get married, assuming that you do not have a prenuptial or pre-marriage contract that says otherwise, then basically anything that any property that is acquired during the marriage is marital property subject to equitable distribution in a divorce. And what equitable distribution means basically is in normal circumstances, equitable means equal. But it doesn't necessarily have to be exactly equal, but it is substantially equal depending on the circumstances. Now, so it's important to know, okay, what's marital property and what's not? Well, virtually any property that you acquire while you're married is marital property. Now, there are a couple of exceptions. The biggie is any property that you inherit from your parents or grandparents or others. But that's only if you not only inherit it, but you keep it separate. In other words, you don't put it in a joint account. That would be converting non-marital property to marital property. Once you've put it in a joint account, it's joint. And of course, marital property can be complicated. And I'll use my son, George, as an example. I've talked about George in the past. He's a financial advisor with Edward Jones. Over at North Hills. He's very successful, and he wouldn't be at North Hills if he wasn't a really good financial advisor. But the fact is that George purchased his home, which is in near downtown Raleigh, prior to his marriage. He got married a couple years later after he purchased his home. But so is that marital property? Well, it wasn't marital property, you know, when he wasn't married. But see, here's the kicker. Now that he is married, and he has a big mortgage, of course, so every month he pays that debt, that mortgage for the house. And guess what he's paying it with? He's paying it with the money he's earned, and guess what? That's marital property. So every month that house becomes a little more marital property, even though he has not, at this point, transferred it to himself and his wife, which he probably will do at some point, but he hadn't yet. So it's a little bit non-marital because he owned it and paid his mortgage for a couple years before he got married. But ever since then, every time he makes a payment, it becomes a little more marital. Well, see, that's where the lawyers have to work that kind of thing out. Because it's more complicated than not. But you might think, well, what about retirement accounts? Well, every contribution you make during a marriage makes it marital property. All your investment accounts and all of the appreciation on the investment accounts or businesses that you create, if it's done during the marriage, it's marital property. So, when you split things up, it gets pretty darn complicated for most families. And that's where it goes. Okay, so I talked about the fact that, yes, if you can reach a fair and equitable property settlement and get a separation agreement in place, the sooner the better. If you can't, get a divorce as soon as your 12 months is up. That's sort of a no-brainer kind of thing. But what about, okay, now you're divorced, get your documents done. Obviously, there are a lot of different things I could talk about, but what about, okay, you've gone down the road a few years and now you want to remarry. Well, here's the thing. This is where it's really, really important for, particularly for those folks who have acquired an estate, they have property, and even more important, if you have children. If you remarry, always get a prenuptial agreement, a pre-marriage agreement. The only time that you might not would be if you're not that wealthy and you're marrying somebody who's super wealthy. You know, if they don't want a prenup and you don't either, then so be it. But for most people, to protect your own estate and protect your children, a prenuptial agreement is a critical thing to have. And again, you go back to that family lawyer for a pre-marriage agreement. Each party should have their own lawyer to do it. And it's an important thing for folks to have. And quite frankly, even if you don't have that much property, pre-marriage agreements can be really important just in the psychological sense of having your children accept your new spouse. Because I guarantee you, if you don't have a prenup, your children will think of your new spouse as an interloper, as the gold digger, as the person who's there to take their inheritance away. And quite frankly, you don't want that. You want your children to embrace a new spouse to the degree possible and to have a good relationship going forward. And a prenuptial agreement at least signals to the children that you're protecting their inheritance, even if you do at the same time try to protect your new spouse as well, which most people try to do. And that's doable is what I'm getting at. But and of course, anybody who's gone through a really bad divorce, they know to have a prenuptial agreement. And of course, a prenup can be It's the kind of document that can be tightened really, really tight, or it doesn't have to be. It really depends on what your intentions are and what you're trying to do. But it is an important document to have.
We got to protect ourselves and make sure that we're taking the steps to put ourselves in the best position and most secure position. So yes, having those documents ahead of time is important, and you know, requires some thought and some discussion with our partners. So yes, please take those steps. And if you need the assistance of an elder law attorney when it comes to your documents, you can go to wgalaw.com to find information about the folks at WG Alexander and Associates. You can schedule an appointment to speak with someone. You can find information about their free webinars, a great resource for information if you're looking for information, whether it's long-term care assistance, Medicaid, VA benefits, asset protection, and trust planning, or a combination of the two. There are two webinars and one seminar dedicated to those subjects. You can go to wgalaw.com and click on the seminars button to learn more. wgalaw.com or call 919-256-7000. 919-256-7000. Quick break and back. This is Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We'll be right back. You're listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. Don't forget to go to WGALaw.com if you need assistance with your legal documents or would like to have the advice of an elder law attorney, WGALaw.com. Jason Kong here with Bill Alexander. Bill, any parting shots? We've covered a lot of ground today before we
have. Yeah, but what about those folks who have remarried and they have children by a previous marriage, but they don't have a prenuptial agreement? I've had a number of clients come through like that, and the fact is they will always say, well, we've kept our properties separate, we trust each other, but I want to leave everything to my children. And I have to tell them that if you want to be able to go to your grave knowing that your children are going to get your property, you have to have a postnuptial agreement, because you can have an after-marriage agreement with your spouse. It's far more difficult to make sure that you get it done, but the fact is that in every one of those cases, I've had my clients have a postnuptial agreement so that they could be assured that their estate would go to their children and not to their new spouse.
If you would like to schedule some time with an elder law attorney at WG Alexander & Associates, go to wgalaw.com. If you are interested in learning more about the seminars, you can click on the seminars button at wgalaw.com. There's two webinars that will be happening on Wednesday, October 9th, and one in-person seminar happening in the evening on Wednesday, October 9th. You can register to attend any of those sessions for free by going to wgalaw.com and clicking on the seminars button. You can learn a ton of information, whether it's Medicaid, VA benefits, asset protection, and trust planning. It's all there, and you can register and attend to learn more from Bill and the team at WG Alexander & Associates. That's going to do it for us today. On behalf of Bill Alexander, I'm Jason Kong, thanking you for listening to Asset Protection Today with Attorney Bill Alexander. We hope you have a wonderful day.